The Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Last week we kicked off our study on looking at how Paul exhorts young Timothy to honor all different types of people, whether it be older men, younger men, older women and younger women, how they should be treated in the church. And those things are greatly important in our lives. A Christian, the relationships in the life of a Christian are very important. They're the way that we minister the word of God. We minister, we show forth the testimony of Christ in our lives through our relationships. So if you missed that program, you can visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you have access to all of our podcasts, as well as looking us up on iTunes. You can sign up to have all of our podcasts directly downloaded to your phone or computer. And we also have our app available for your convenience, whether it be Android or an iPhone. You can download it from the App Store or the Google Play Store for your convenience to listen to it on the go while you're in your car, while you're jogging, whatever it is you're doing. You can be listening to Radio Redemption and Power, where we feed you the Word of God. And we know that it will be a blessing for your lives. You can also visit us on our Facebook page, where we weekly post up the program from the prior week. You can also listen to it there. And we also have a live feed that you can tune into. Brother Lewis has a program every Tuesday at 7 p.m. where you can listen to and call in to his talk show. You can also call us at 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-7727. Or you can write to us by email at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. Unfortunately, Brother Lewis is not with us tonight, but we are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. Though he is greatly missed and he is a great part of this ministry, we know that he is with us in spirit. And next week when he joins us again, we know that it's going to be doubly blessed as we come together in this ministry, because everybody plays an important role in the ministry. Brother Mike, though he doesn't speak very much yet, he plays an incredible role in this ministry. He's the one that allows these podcasts to be available. He's the one that puts in the music, and he does the engineering here in the studio. So even though you may not hear him or see him, his role is of great importance to this ministry. And we could all do something for God. We all have something that God has called us to do. And the important thing is that we do that which we're made to do. So we give glory to God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this night. We thank you for this glorious opportunity to be able to address your people tonight. We pray, Father, that tonight your Holy Spirit may come upon us, that, Father, you may minister to your people. You may open up their hearts and minds, Lord, to receive your word, Father. That, Father, this word will go into their hearts, Lord, and that it will break forth as a seed, Father, going to the ground, Lord, and coming to life, Lord, and bear fruit in the lives of your people. We pray, Father, against the attacks of the enemy that will try to desire to either take away their focus, either to distract them, Father, from being able to put attention to your word. And that, Father, that you may use us tonight with power, Lord, to magnify and glorify your name. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Your face is all I seek, for when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Your face is all I see, for when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. fire that once burnt bright and clean. Replace the land of my first love that burns with holy fear.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name. Tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5. The book of 1 Timothy is a very important book. It's an instruction to a young pastor who is going to minister in a place filled with ungodliness, filled with all forms of immorality. And we see that Paul addresses many insecurities in this young man, because it can be very intimidating to go out, especially when you're young, to minister to older people, people that have lived longer than you have, and especially in that culture. We saw last week on the importance of being careful how you address an older man, how you address a younger man, and how you address a woman and an older woman and a young woman. And this is one of the focuses that we see here in this chapter, on how young Timothy was to address the different people in the churches. And one of the wonderful things about the Word of God is that it causes us to become rich in wisdom. The scripture says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And when we take his word seriously, we have sufficiency to be able to live every circumstance that we face. Because God provides for our needs. The scripture says that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given them to us. He has provided all that we need to be able to overcome in this life. And it's very important not to lose faith, not to stop believing. Because there are many things in this world that fight to take away our attention, try to occupy our minds. But God is faithful. God is faithful to give us all that we need for the hour in which we need it. So last week we started off in verse 1 and verse 2, and tonight we begin with verse 3. And we see that the name Timothy actually means one who honors God. And this is a question that we should ask ourselves each and every day, and whenever we make a decision, does this decision honor God? And be many times that we see that what we did or what we're going to do does not honor God. We should strive to honor God in all circumstances, above all things. So we start off in verse 3 today, and Paul tells young Timothy in verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Now, this word honor in this portion of scripture does not only mean to give that person importance, to give that person attention, but it also ties to monetary aid. You see, in this specific time, there was no such thing as welfare. These ancient cultures didn't have any provisions for individuals that didn't have any help, and especially for widows, because being a woman in these times was very difficult. And that amplifies when it is a woman who is a widow, a woman that doesn't have any children. More than likely, these individuals would be stricken to poverty. I mean, we look at the society that we live in now, and if you don't have somebody to help you, if you don't have friends and family, even in the society that we live in, it's very difficult to be able to make it. It's very difficult for elderly to make it here in this country, especially elderly that don't have papers or immigrate from other countries. But can you imagine the difficulty it would be to be a widow in these times? And he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. So Paul is saying here, there are some people, there are some women that they may call themselves widows, but they're not necessarily widows. And this is very important because Paul is calling young Timothy to exercise discernment. Not everyone that says they're in need, or not everyone that has a need, is here to be helped by the church. There is a definition of those that can receive a specific help. And we see that one of the important roles of the church is to help out its members, to provide for its people. We look in the book of Acts, and the very first thing that started to happen after the Holy Spirit was given to the church and the church was formed, the Bible says that everybody sold what they had, and they had it all in common, to help each other out and to use it for the ministry of God. And we look in the scripture how there was a famine in Jerusalem, and the church of Corinthians actually gives and helps money for those that are in need. They order collections for those that are in need. We see that there's no such thing as welfare, that God had brings brothers and sisters together to help one another, not only in social needs, not only in emotional needs, not only in spiritual needs, but also in physical needs. In fact, one of the things that we see in the book of James, when James is speaking about how we show our faith through our works, he says, if somebody comes to you and they're in need of food, they're in need of clothing, and you tell them, oh, God bless you, but you don't help them with their need, you have not fulfilled and showed that there really truly is faith in you. So there is an aspect of the church that is here to help out the people that are part of that church. We are to help one another financially, if that is the case. But we see here that not everybody that really asks for help is entitled to it in the monetary way. He says, honor widows that are widows indeed, that are really widows, that are true widows. And Paul is going to go on to explain what is a true widow and what is not a widow. And this doesn't only apply to widows. We can gather from it a principle of giving, and not only giving personally, but specifically when it comes to giving as a church or giving from resources that belong to the church. Because if there's any money that is sacred, is the money that is given to church organizations, is given to churches. That money is sacred because it is given for God's work. It is given to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we have to be so careful, brothers and sisters, with anything that we receive in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because there is a double accounting to that. All these wicked men that are using money that has been donated to the church for personal pleasure, for personal things, they're going to have to answer to Jesus Christ for that, for stealing. Because that's what it is. It's stealing when you take that which is given to the work of God and use it personally. We're not to use anything that is for God for our personal pleasure. In fact, one of the lessons that we learn about Jesus Christ is that when he was in the wilderness, he did not use the power that God had given him to fulfill his hunger. At that time when he was in the desert, when Satan came to tempt him, he did not use that which was given to him for his own personal gain. And that's why we have to be careful, brothers and sisters. But we do with that which we receive, which is for the work of the Lord. And we have to be so careful here that Paul goes on to tell young Timothy, what is a true widow? What is a true person that is really in need? And look what, and he goes on to say in verse 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. But if any widow, I'm going to read this from another version, has children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety towards their own family and to requite their own parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. What is he saying? He's saying if these people that are in need, where's their family? There's people that have family that can help them, and we should first seek out before we provide aid to these individuals to find out their immediate family to help them. And it shows us here that the importance of our household. Everything begins with our house, with where we live, with our family, in the sense of the testimony that we give. He's saying, let them show piety in their home. Let them show godliness in their home. A person who has family here, who has somebody that can help them and give them a hand, is truly not as needy as it appears. There's people much more needier than them. There's people that absolutely don't have anybody. And he says, before you decide to give some help to a widow, first find out if they have family here. And then he says in verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate hath her hope set on God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. So a woman or a person that is truly in need only has God to help them. They don't have family. He says if they're desolate, they're left all alone, they trust in God. Those are the people that are really in need, that don't have anybody else to help them. And we as Christians, or the institution of the church, is to help those people. See, we're not to give blindly. Whatever we give, we're accountable. Everything that we have belongs to God. So we have to be careful how we spend those funds. Even in churches, it's sometimes amazing to see how much money has gone to waste, either in useless activities or useless decorations, useless just things that do not contribute a thing towards the advancement of the kingdom of God. And the Bible gives a lot of emphasis on how we are to use money. See, money represents our time. When we go, we work 8 hours a day. That time that we spent working is represented in those funds that we receive. So if we waste our money, it's like wasting our time. It's like wasting those resources that God has given us. And especially when it has to do with the money that belongs to the church, that others have donated and given to God. These are offerings to the Lord. These are not to people. They're given to God. It belongs to God. And we see what happens when we touch the accursed thing, when we use that which belongs to God for something else than what it's intended. We read about Achan in the book of Joshua, in the first battle of the Israelites after they crossed the Jordan into the promised land. And the Bible shows us that everything, all the spoils that was received in there, since it was the first fruits, it belonged to God. And the Bible says that whoever had touched those things that belonged to God, they will become accursed. And the Bible says that this man, Achan, his whole family was stoned to death. They perished because they took that which did not belong to them. And this is what, when a church misspends that money which was given for the work of God and uses it for something other than the work of God, there is much to fear. But he says here about this widow in verse 5 that she ought to continue in supplications and prayers night and day. See, a person who is desolate, just because you may not have resources, this may apply also to a person who is handicapped, maybe, you know, a person that can't work and they're in disability and all they can do is really be at home. The Bible shows us that just because you're immobile, just because you don't have resources, financial resources, doesn't mean that you cannot advance the kingdom of God. In fact, here he says that the woman, she should continue in supplications and prayers night and day. Do you know that you can minister to God? Do you know that you can change the events of your city, of your family, of your country, of another country through prayer? Prayer is our long distance warfare. We can warfare from one place and be praying for another country and people in another country, because prayer does not know any distance. If you are a person that can only stay at home, you can still minister to God. You can still be part of the work of God through your prayers and supplications to the Lord. You minister to Him and you pray for the saints and you pray for the work of God. And this is a very important role in ministry, the role of an intercessor. I believe one day when we all gathered in heaven as brothers and sisters, there's going to be many men and women that are going to be recognized by the Lord that perhaps were never seen by others serving, were never seen publicly, but yet they dedicated their lives to serving God through prayers and supplications. And I believe that the Lord is going to commend these people, and they're going to have such a greater reward, and they're going to be able to see how greatly and truly they had affected. They were effective in the advancement of the kingdom of God. See, prayer is a way in which God allows us to be involved in what He's doing. We have a God that answers prayer. We have a God that is moved by the requests of men and women. That's something that's an attribute that is so wonderful about God, is that God hears our prayers. You can be affecting the events happening all across the world from your room without having to leave anywhere, without having to travel to any place. You can be ministering through prayer and supplications. And he says that this is a true widow. A true person that's in need is one that doesn't have anybody to help them. These are the individuals that the church should help. And not just anybody that doesn't have any family or anything like that, but a person that is godly, a true brother and sister. Because look at what he says in the next verse. He says, "But she that giveth herself to pleasure is dead while she liveth." Unfortunately, there are people that give themselves off like if they're in need, yet they're really looking to receive, to spend it on pleasures, or to live a specific way of life, a life of luxury, a life of living for expensive things. And this is true about any person. A person that lives for pleasure will never truly experience the blessings of God. Here, Paul says that while she lives physically, she's dead. Because a person that lives for pleasure is a person that lives for the flesh. To feel good, to feel, to experience comfort, physical comfort. And a person who lives for pleasure does not deserve to be provided for by the church, by those funds that were given for the work of God. And we as Christians need to be careful when we get caught up in pleasure. And unfortunately, that's very characteristic of this generation, especially here in the United States. And recently, we had a mission trip to Nicaragua, and we're able to see how the gospel is lived out so differently in third world countries. People go to church from far distances. They ride buses that don't have air conditioners. Many of them have very meager jobs. But to see their desire for the work of God and to see the purity of the gospel, of the power of the word of God in those countries, because they don't have this type of indulgences that we have here in the United States. We see that people are more given. There's more appetite for the word of God. There's more desire to be changed and transformed. But one of the things that is destroying this nation is self-indulgence. In food, we have the greatest amount of obesity of all countries because there's people that are just given over to overeating. We have the greatest amounts of sexual transmitted diseases. We have the greatest amounts of addictions to narcotics and all forms of medication with regards to depression and all these drugs to make people feel good. And that's what our whole advertisement industry is given over to making you want pleasure. And that will kill us. It will drive us away from God. Because the road of the gospel is one that is often filled with pain. But it's the one that brings the greatest joy. We look at the life of Jesus Christ and how he experienced great, great suffering for the redemption of his people, for the forgiveness of our sins. The payment of our sins was a great price paid for by the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the reasons why our generation has become so unproductive. We don't know how to do anything. We don't know how to build anything anymore. It's because we're given over to pleasure. And here Paul says that this woman that calls herself a widow, or this applies to anybody that is self-indulgent, that will lead them to death. We must rise above that. We must live according to the Spirit of God, and sacrifice often, in most cases, doesn't involve pleasure. Even though there is a sense of peace in serving God that comes afterward, there's a greater pleasure that we receive in doing the work of God. That is a true pleasure. And that is an everlasting pleasure. That is one that will not be changed by circumstances. It is one that we will be able to enjoy an eternity. Forever. without end. Not these puny things that the devil puts in front of us. They're not lasting. They're not worth what they promote. They're not worth what they advertise. It's just like the way that the devil does things is that he works just like the fast food industry. And that he shows you the commercial of this delicious burger, impeccable, and you're just like, man, I just have to have that. You go to the burger place and you open up the box and you find this lopsided, soggy, runny burger, and it looks nothing like what you have seen on the television, and you eat it and it gives you a stomach ache and you're left totally unsatisfied. That's the same thing with those that are given to pleasure. They live, you will be living in continual guilt. And he says in verse 7, these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Speaking about to make sure that these funds are allocated correctly. And in verse 8 it says, but if any provideth not for his own, and specifically his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But if any provideth not for his own, and especially his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Every Christian has a responsibility to provide for his own, to provide for his family. And Paul gives such a strong exhortation to those that will not provide to their family. He says that they're worse than an unbeliever. Can you imagine that? An atheist or a straight up blasphemer or a person that completely rejects God and everything that God has done for them. Paul says that a person that doesn't provide for his own is worse than that person that is outside the church. And often this is associated, because in the context is associated to financial provision. But this doesn't only apply to financial provision. There's many men in this country that feel that with just providing for their family, financial support is all they need to do. But it's not just about financial provision. What about provision for your family's emotional needs, spiritual needs, safety? It's more than just financial needs. It is all that they require, especially if you're the man, if you are the husband, if you are the head of your household. This is our responsibility to provide for our families, not only monetarily, but also with the spiritual support that they need to grow. He says it is worse than an infidel. We have to strive to support our families. We are to give support to them. Rear up our children for them to see us as examples. We are to be the examples in our home, especially as leaders. We can't wait for others to be the first ones to do it. We need to be the ones to provide. We need to be the ones to give. We need to be the ones to sacrifice. In fact, one of those great examples in my life was my father. My father left communist-ridden Nicaragua in about 1989, and he came here. He worked in a car wash until he was able to get enough money to bring us. And I've been able to see the great sacrifice that he had in his life, and it's impacted me in such a great way to see the sacrifice that he's done for our family. And even now, when there's a need in the family, he's always the first one to give and to offer. And that has plays such an important role in my upbringing and my development as a person, an individual. And I give thanks for my father. And I want you to know, all those that are listening that are fathers and mothers that work hard and sacrifice for their families, they're single mothers that work multiple jobs to provide for their families. And I want you to know that your children see that. And though some of them may be too immature to appreciate it now, one day they will see and they will look back and it will affect them greatly, the sacrifice that you have made for them. But don't just be satisfied in your financial provision. Seek for them to see Christ in you. Love is defined by sacrifice. See, that's the thing that we see in this world, is that we're so casual to throw away and toss around the word love. Oh, I love this. I love that. Oh, young people say, you know, you use an excuse to go into bed together because they love each other. That's what they say. That's what the world says. That's how you define love. But no, love is defined by sacrifice. Jesus showed us that he loved us because he was willing to go to the cross for us. He laid down his life for us. That is true love. Don't let any man tell you, young woman, that he loves you if he can't wait, if he's not serious about marriage. Love is defined by sacrifice. God the Father gave up his only son. He gave up the best that he had for us. To pay for our sins, to pay for your sin, for my sin. So that we could be his children. So that we can receive all that we need from God. So that we wouldn't be alienated from him anymore. Verse 9 says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old or 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband. So we see here that there was a requirement for those that were widows. They could not be younger than 60 years old. Because someone that was younger could still remarry. And there's not only the requirement of the age, but we see in verse 10, he says, and having a reputation for good works, if she had brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, has devoted herself to every good work. So this was somebody that's going to receive aid from a church or a ministry, should also give a testimony of Christ. I'm not saying that, you know, there's not circumstances where we help others that are in need. There's a specific need. But here he is talking about maintaining them. Maintaining somebody that could not work. Maintaining somebody that didn't have any family. This is a very big commitment and it requires a great amount of resources. And this person that would be receiving this type of help and aid needed to show that they have a testimony. And it goes to that principle where Jesus Christ said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. How have we been in those times that we have had plenty? Have we shared with others? That's why it's so important to give. To be merciful, because God shows mercy to those who are merciful. And he says, this woman, has she shown hospitality? This person, has she given of what she had before? Has she shown testimony that she had lived for others? Or has it been just about her and her and her needs? Do we give when we have plenty? Because one day we can be in that situation. we would want others to help us. And look what he says, verse 11, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for their passions draw them away from Christ. They desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Here it's speaking about something more deeper than, it's not saying that, you know, if a widow is young and, you know, she desires to marry and have a husband, that's fine. They can marry again. But here he's speaking about them leaving the faith completely. There's many people that feign, that pretend to be a Christian just so they can get something out of you, out of the church. There's people that are in church or are Christians only because they have a need. But once that need is gone, a lot of them go back to the world. I've seen that many times. People come to God because of some tragedy that they've experienced or some great distress that they're experiencing. But then God meets their need, they abandon. They forget about God. And here, he's speaking about women who appear to have need or persons that are in need, but that's really not their desire. They want something else. They want something. They don't want Christ. And it says, verse 10, besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. Is this person that is in need, what do they do with their time? Are they out there looking to find a job? Are they out looking to do something? If they're incapable of doing so, what are they doing with their time? Here he says these women that were asking for aid, though they appeared to be in need, they were wasting their time in gossip and doing things that are completely worthless. Giving to gossip. And look at what he says in the next couple of verses, just to finish up. He says, I desire therefore that the younger widows marry, bear children, rule the household, give no occasion to the adversary for reviling. For already some are turned aside after Satan. There's something here that Paul is speaking about that is much deeper than just a widow that's in need. He's speaking about women that turn, he's making this connection between women that are given to gossip and turning aside after Satan. Gossip is such an abhorrent sin. It is accepting accusations against others or making accusations about others, whether you saw it or you didn't see it. And the Bible shows us that this is in line with the nature of Satan. If you're a person that gossips in your church, that gossips about other people, that is always excited, that's excited to tell somebody else about some new information that you have, some dirt that you have of another brother and sister, or any other person, period. And that brings you pleasure. The Bible says that that is in line with Satan. These women that are given to gossip, that are given to slandering, to speaking about other people's, Paul says they turned aside after Satan. We have to be very careful, brothers and sisters. But we see that not every person that calls themselves or says they're in need are qualified to receive help from the church. And especially in these times that we live in, a lot of churches are taking advantage, or a lot of people come to try to take advantage of the resources of a church. And here, Paul is putting a very important responsibility in taking the time and showing what are the qualifications of a person that's really, truly in need. Number one, they don't have anybody else to help them. They don't have any family. They don't have any close relatives that can help them in this circumstance. Number two, it has to be someone that truly doesn't have that capacity. He says that a younger woman under 60, they shouldn't receive any help because they can either remarry, or a lot of them are not mature. So this is somebody that's really destitute, that has doesn't have any recourses for themselves. Especially in that time, somebody, a woman over 60 that was alone, would be destitute. And it also had to be someone that shows a testimony of following Jesus Christ. Somebody that shows that they have a character that desires to follow Christ. Are you following Christ? Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith on Him for salvation? Perhaps you just turned into this station and you happen to be listening to this program, and you're experiencing some kind of emotional distress or some circumstance in your life, and you're looking for God. God is calling out to you. The Bible says that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. He did not know any sin. He did not sin. The Bible says that He was crucified on the cross for my sin and for your sin. He was put to death. And He was buried, and on the third day He rose again. And the Bible says if you put your faith on Him, you shall be saved. God will save you. He will save your soul. He will save you right now. You can cry out to Him and say, God, I come before You. I believe that You sent Your Son Jesus to die for my sins. I confess that I am a sinner, and I ask You that You forgive me tonight. I receive the sacrifice that Jesus made on my behalf. Forgive me for my sins. Give me a new life. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this night. Lord, I thank You for all those brothers and sisters that tuned in. I pray, Father, that You may minister to their hearts and that You will continue to minister to them. We pray for any listeners that may be sick tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus that You may bring Your healing power over them, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You may bring peace, Lord, to those whose minds, Lord, are filled with anxiety. Tonight You bring deliverance, Lord. And that, Father, You allow us to be responsible with the resources that You give us, with the resources that You give to the churches, Lord, that they may be used rightly for Your glory. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank You for listening tonight. Remember, you can visit us at our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, as well as visit us on our Facebook page. Or you can download our app for either iPhone or Android. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you.
Love, think about His goodness. about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. So great is the measure of our Father's love. How could I forget his love? And how could I forget his mercy?
Think about his love. That's what we come together to do. To consider the wide expanse and the deep dimensions of God's love for us. Let that thought dwell in your heart tonight. Because God is for us. He is. And his word confirms it. Refreshing breezes of God's love are drifting over us today. And where they do, his love clears away confusion and awakens worship. And the result of experiencing God's love for us should compel us to love him more so that we can begin to love each other more. God's immeasurable love is for us, you and me. So let's take some time right now to think about it. Think about his love, his goodness, and his great mercy, and let it change us.
Great is the measure.
Great is the measure.